All right, well, we are talking about Noah's floating circus and zoo vacation cruise. And we need to address one real obvious thing, but maybe not so obvious to everyone from the start of this class. And that is, in God's mind, there was the necessity of death. The necessity of death. Until that's really understood in a person, especially a Christian person, they're going to not understand everything that the Bible talks about. They're not going to understand because our view is more on a compassionate view, and his view is more on a necessity to bring about something eternal. And in this story of Noah, there are two kinds of death, and it's pretty simple, you know. There is death that took place outside of the ark and death that took place inside the ark. And so you have to understand God's version of that, and we'll talk about it. We'll look at some scriptures so it'll help you. But you know, just like this little suicide thing right here, there needs to be a death, not just for people that want to commit suicide, but the advantage that they have, people that want to commit suicide have, is that they at least understand that death can actually work for you, even though if they're working off the wrong death. We're talking about the death of Christ. And there was a very big difference between the death outside the ark and the death in the ark. And I believe that whole journey in the ark to come to the new creation was a death. It was a very real form of death, and it can be a death on so many levels. I mean, it's a death. It's a death to your friends. It's a death to your surroundings and the things that make you comfortable. Does this sound anything like the cross working in? You know. All the things that you're used to, and you're like Peter, you're in a boat, and yet you're willing to step out on the water that you're not supposed to be able to walk on. But if your goal is to get to Jesus, you know, because that's exactly what Peter said, "May I come to you on the water." He didn't say, "May I learn to walk on water and paddle around and show off to the guys in the boat," you know. "Hey, look what I can do," you know. He wanted to come to Jesus. Okay, so obstacles that look impossible are no longer impossible when your heart is set on going to him. And you remember the rest of the story. As long as he was looking at Jesus, "That's my focus, that's what I want to do, I want to come to you," then it didn't say that the waves were calm and the storm stopped while that happened. Mm-hmm. It says it was still going. And that when he got his eyes off of Jesus and looked at the storm, looked at the waves, looked at how it looked, he began to sink. All right, so we see that there is a risk, a death, as it were, to get out of the boat that Peter was in. And there was a risk of life because he said, you know, "Lord, save me." He used those words, "Save me." And Jesus reached down, pulled him up. And so let's look at Romans 8 real quick. Romans 8. Starting with verse 6. And these scriptures will be extra beneficial for those of you who didn't tractor today. Those listening to this later by other people will not fully understand what we're talking about here. But those will understand fully because it starts with, to be carnally minded is death. Okay, so to be carnally minded is death. Yeah. You're already in death.
That's right.
Okay? But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And isn't that an interesting addition? Mm-hmm. Not just life, but peace. You know?
Yes.
Because, okay, so when you're walking on that water and looking at it, you're thinking, I'm going to drown. This is going to kill me. This is going to get to me. Okay? Well, your carnal mind is already the problem. Because you're not looking at him. You're not going to him. And let me emphasize that it wasn't just looking at Jesus, it was going to Jesus. May I come to you on the water? Or may I come to you in the midst of the storm?
Amen.
Right? Mm-hmm. And the answer from Jesus would be, yes. Come. Come.
Amen.
See? He didn't say walk, he said come.
Come.
And that's the mindset of the Lord. See, it's all in hand in the Lord. He's already walking on the water or walking through the storm. Unaffected. All right. So he already understands a different way than we do. We say, you know, there's another example where they were in the boat and he was asleep in the boat and they go, wake up, you know, like the storm's going to flood the boat and kill Jesus, you know. Well, is Jesus with us?
Yeah.
You understand? I mean, you're the boat and he's in you at rest. Jesus is there. So, you know, what I've often said is, you know, if I had been there and I understood, I would have just got down there with Jesus and laid right up next to him and said, I'm going to check you guys later. I'm going to take a nap with the Lord, okay? And just been with the Lord because he's not going to drown. The boat's not going under as long as Jesus is there.
You know?
And that's been the truth of New Creation Fellowship, our church. As long as the Lord is there, I never worry. But I have told the Lord and prayed many times, Lord, if there is, you know, if we're no longer where your heart is, if we're no longer with you the way you want us to be, then please do us all a favor and dissolve this church.
Amen.
You know? Because I don't want it. I don't want it. See, I'm not wanting to be a pastor of a church or this, that. I'm wanting Jesus. And so that's Noah in his situation. I'm sure that one thing that he really knew was even this is hard and even this makes me doubt sometimes, I know that God spoke to me and gave me the pattern and said, let's go this, let's build this environment and go wherever it's going to go, you know, but he's going to oversee it. He's going to look. So to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Okay, so it's not your life. It's his life. To be carnally minded is for you to try to be everything he wants.
Yeah.
To be spiritually minded is to say, he's my life, and that's what you want.
Amen.
And, you know, so picture this. Jesus asleep in the boat. God the Father looks down, sees Jesus asleep in the boat, and says, well, I don't want him if he's going to sleep. Would that happen? No, of course. That's ridiculous. God's not going to look down and say, okay, well, what if he's kind of asleep in you at a certain juncture? Is God going, well, he ain't even there. You know? No. The Father's not going to, the Father knows his Son. Well, if he wants to sleep in the boat, he can do whatever he wants. That's what I want. I want the Son. We think he has to be jumping up inside of us and going, I'm here, and I see me, I'm the Son that's within this boat. The boat is really rickety, but I'm, you know, doing well in it, you know? And so the Father's going, yeah, that's my Son, you know? Instead of just going, that's my Son, whether he's asleep or whether he's, you know, playing Rummy Cub or whatever. That's my Son. Amen. And he's in that boat. And that boat is not going down. See? Our confidence has to be in the Son, not us. You know? Well, I don't look like a boat that he would want to be in. The Father's not going, this is bad. This boat looks bad. Somebody get him a yacht. I didn't think that way. I mean, look at the Ark. It wasn't fancy either. You know? Okay? Because it's the vessel is not what is the most important thing. In fact, he said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Okay, well, we still hear that, and we still somehow, but when you look at an old beat-up fisherman boat, and Jesus asleep in it, and we can say, you know what, I'm that old beat-up fisherman boat, and Jesus is still in me, that's all that counts. And our problem is, though, we get fearful, and then we're trying to wake up Jesus. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is going, you know, oh, ye of little faith, remember? That's what he said. It's like, oh, you have little faith. Because what did he say on the shoreline when they left? Let us go to the other side. When Jesus says, let's go to the other side, that's where you're going. Okay. You don't have to go, I wonder if we're going to make it.
You just know. Did it now.
Yeah.
Going to the other side.
Yeah. I mean, you're still going to the other side. And the boat's still heading there. And Jesus is still in there. So right now you may be doing really well. Okay? So you think your boat's all painted up and, you know, pitched within and without, you know, with atonement, and therefore you have confidence. Well, shame on you. Your confidence is in you then. Here's where the glory comes when the boat is, you know, rickety and not painted and maybe even looks a little leaky, and you're going, I don't know, you know. And you're looking at yourself and you're doubting based on you. And you can't do that.
Amen.
Well, you can, but you'd be carnally minded. But to just be with the Lord and be that vessel no matter what, is life and peace. Okay. So when he was asleep, they woke him up and he said to the storm, peace, be still. But then he rebuked their storm.
Yeah.
Remember? He turned to their storm. It was all brewing in them. And, oh, no, what are we going to do? And how are we going to survive? And, you know, why are you sleeping? Get up! And he's going, I rebuke that storm. In fact, he said, I rebuke the storm in the name of me. Yeah. Be rebuked. Because, and so guess what? When we're going through the storm and we're worried that our boat is going to sink because, you know, there's too much water getting in, instead of Jesus waking up, standing up and going, I am here, be happy and joyful and full of faith, more than likely he'd rather just rebuke you.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
And say, you're okay. Now can I take a nap again? You know? Rest. And rest, just be at rest in the storm with me. You know, come on, guys, lay down. You know, we got 45 more minutes.
Amen.
Let's just lay down. If you're not sleepy, just lay down and look up at the clouds and the storm and say, "Wow, that's really cool looking." Instead of going, "I'm dodging lightning bolts." No, you're not. It just looks and feels like that. Verse 7 of Romans there says, because the carnal mind is enmity with God, meaning it's an enemy of God, for it's not subject to the law of God. And when it says the law of God, it's not talking about the Ten Commandments.
Yay.
Or if you read somewhere else in Leviticus, 11th one, or 12th, because there's what, 300 and something, 200? Anyway, there's a lot. I don't even know how many there are. So if I had to keep them, I'd be in real trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not really important other than now the Holy Spirit takes each one of those and reveals Christ in it. That's the point. Neither indeed can be, because you can't be subject to the nature, the law of the nature of God, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, by focusing on yourself, trying to measure up.
Amen.
The law of the Spirit of life. That's how this chapter began, by the way.
Lord.
You know, the law of the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Okay? And it talks about the law of the Spirit of life. Woo!
Amen.
The Spirit of life.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
That's Jesus. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And it's in Him. In Him and where are we located?
In Him.
In a boat, in an ocean? No. You know, we're in Him.
That's right.
And then He's in the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that one. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay, well, and when is the folks... It's not talking about wild, crazy people out there that are in the flesh. It's talking about you when you're not secure in Him. You're looking at you trying to be what God wants. That's what it's talking about. And you can't please God. Well, I can try. Okay, if you really need that, but it's really a waste of time because you won't be able to. Verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Okay, so where is that talking? Where is He located? In you. In you. All right. So, which are you? A rickety old boat or a yacht? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You don't focus on, you don't say, I'm a yacht. No, you don't go there. You stay with the Lord. You stay, He's in that boat. Whatever it is, I'm with you, Lord. I see you, I don't see me. And the scripture said that if you're actually seeing Him, if you're seeing Him and looking into His face and saying, I see you, not me, then you will see His reflection. He's like a mirror, and you'll see His reflection in you, and you'll go, He's in me. That's what's important. That's what's important. That's always what is important. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Okay, and so this is saying... that if you are functioning in the flesh and in the carnal mind, then you're not functioning in the Spirit of Christ. At that moment, that's all He wants is Jesus. So at that moment, you're exactly as none of His. But you are. You totally are. It's still Christ in you. But you need to get back into the stream of what is life.
Mm-hmm.
Him. Him. Not I, but Christ. Didn't the scripture say that?
Yes.
Not I, but Christ. That should be a mentality. Not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. And we just walk around. We go, okay, can so Randy, could you go over there and mop the floor over there? I would say, not I, but Christ. Or I could say, yeah, I can mop the floor. Or I can say, I'd rather, by the life of Christ, do it in a spirit that would honor the Father, and it'd be a sweet savor unto the Father. So that's what I'm going to do, and that's by Christ. Yes. When we say mop the floor by Christ, doesn't mean you stand there with a mop and say, whenever you're ready, start slinging the mop. You know what I mean? That's ridiculous. You know, and Jesus inside of you goes, I got it now. You know, it's talking about in the Spirit of Christ. It even said the Spirit of Christ, didn't it? It's to be done in a certain spirit, His nature, that Lamb spirit. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, and the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. So that is that quickening. The word quicken means to enliven, to make it alive. Well, it's alive by Christ. Okay. But it's not, again, what we need to do is realize that it's not like we have this, we're like this, you know how people say I'm comfortable, you should be comfortable in your own skin. You ever heard that? Mm-hmm. Well, it's not like we're just skin and Jesus is really the thing that's in us, you know, and we're like a glove over Him or something. It's Him in us in His nature, in His Spirit, as it says. And in that Spirit, He lives through us and He dwells in us and He produces in us, but not the act, but the Spirit in which it's done. Okay? So when we're in that situation, we're not just saying, you know, well, I just don't want to, but just make me want to. You say, your life in me lays down its life for others. And so I do it by you. You see that? It's a difference. It's a difference between just the person of Jesus going, I'll do it. Here I come to save the day. You know? It is that Spirit, and then that's what it talks about, I believe, when it says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That treasure will function through this earthen vessel, and God will look at that combination and go, now that's what I wanted from the beginning, Christ in you. Mm. Not just Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Because I always had Him, God would say, the Father would say. Mm-hmm. I've always had Him. So what's the point? Mm-hmm. The point is, you. He wants Him in you. He really does. You know? And when He gets it, He calls that all together, compacted, you and Him, a treasure to Him. You know? And if we just poured out the treasure over here, He'd say, that's what I had before the foundation of the world. I'd like that treasure to be in you. Amen? All right. Verse 11. Well, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Okay, so we got several things going here. We actually have three deaths going here. The first death is to be carnally minded is death. Okay, you're already dead if you're carnally minded. All right. The second thing is we're dead if to live after the flesh, for if we live after the flesh you shall die. Okay, so it's saying that you're already dead, but if you live after the flesh you're going to die.
That's right.
In other words, death is your lot fully and completely, and there's no mention of resurrection from it. Right? But if you do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. What does mortify mean?
Put to death.
It's like, wait a minute. This almost sounds like There's death outside the ark and inside the ark. Mm-hmm. Right? And there is. And there is. And so mortify the deeds means that you are taking on, you know, an example that I thought of when we first started New Creation Fellowship, not the very beginning, but when we were over on Bolivar, we had several people that started coming to the church and they smoked. And so I noticed that somebody would jump up, every so often. And so I said, what's going on? They said, you know, and they jump up and leave, go out, and then they come back in. I said, what's going on? They said, well, I have to have a cigarette. And I said, okay, that's fine. You know, I mean, I'm not, you know, that's not the issue. The cigarette isn't the issue to me.
Yeah.
Here's what became the issue to me. After a while, since I knew what was going on, I noticed that every time that we would get close to something that person needed, because we'd been in counseling too, the very thing they needed to hear from the Lord, that urge would come up and they'd run out and miss it. And I went, oh, okay. Well, okay, what if you got to go to the bathroom real bad? Go to the bathroom. I don't care what you got to do. You know what I mean? But if there are things like, you know, if our body is controlling us, that's all I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, you know, needing to get away or this or that. I'm saying if your body, if you're going, you know, I have to have a cigarette or I got to go eat something right now or this or that. And that you know, eating, you can do that too if you have to have that. But I'm trying to make the point that your body, if it's saying, I want to do this, and it's taking dragging Jesus along, then there might be something wrong with that. You know, well, you're following your body instead of Jesus leading your body, you know. And so it's talking about mortifying the deeds of the body. Mortifying the pulls and I can't think of another word for it, but it's that pulling that says, I have to do this. You don't have to do anything in that sense. I mean, if it is a life or death thing, then go do it. But, you know, but so when I saw that, then I made a determination in me. I said, my body is not going to control me. My body is not going to control me. Now, again, if I had to go to the bathroom real bad, I would go. But I'm talking about control. And that may be a one-time thing ever so often. But if it's controlling me, then I have to reevaluate and go, okay, Lord, that must mean that there is a way through which I can mortify these things so that your life can keep me from having to, you know, go do all this stuff. Okay? All right, so it's talking about several kinds of death here. So I want to step into another area, and it kind of includes this, but in your notes or whatever, you can mark this down as a new area or on the recording. And that is that a total environment is not a utopia. Y'all know what a utopia is? A utopia is living in this perfect, you know, nirvana, like heaven. Everything is just so perfect, you know. And we go, well, you know, I want to go, like, you know, I want to go to a place where Jesus is so prevalent that everything is perfect. Okay, well, if you find that place, tell me, because I don't know where that would be, you know. But we kind of think that. And in Genesis, let's go to Genesis 7 and verse 10. Genesis 7 and verse 10. And we'll do 10, 11, and 12. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Okay. So what we're seeing here is it wasn't just rain. Right? The fountains of the great deep were broken forth and came up too. So you've got rain coming from above, and you got the deep from the earth, the waters deep in the earth coming up. And as I looked at that, I thought, it's hitting us from both sides. You know. When I grew up, I grew up in Dallas, but it was Oak Cliff, and most people in Dallas understand Oak Cliff was a really rough part of town. But one of the good things that came out of Oak Cliff when I was a kid was, anybody ever heard of 7-Eleven? 7-Elevens started in Oak Cliff. And the first 7-Eleven was in Oak Cliff. And I remember, and now we understand convenience stores and we can just run down there and all that kind of stuff real quick for almost anything. Well, it wasn't, you didn't have that stuff before. So we had this 7-Eleven. You could go down to 7-Eleven and you could get just about anything you needed in the moment, whatever you needed, and then you could leave. And we thought, wow, this is really cool. And when I looked at this verse, I was looking at verse 7-11. And I thought, you know what? The Lord has given them anything they need in the moment. It's right there in the moment. And it's everything you need, whether you think you need it or not. You know. So the rains are falling from above, so we could say things are coming from God down to us. Praise God. But then we could look at a negative of this is coming up out of the earth, you know. Mm-hmm. This part of the flood is coming up out of the earth. And so part of it's like being from God and part of it's like maybe being from the devil or because of the high and the low of it. Well, I guess I should have told you to keep your place there in Romans 8 because there's another scripture there, and you all know it, but basically it's the all things scripture, right? Mm-hmm. Romans 8, verse 28 and 29. And so we're talking about I have to pay attention here because we cut off part of our time, so... Okay. So verse 28 and 29, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. All right. So there's many of you that have been around for a while have heard me share on this. Some of you maybe not so much. But the first thing is that this is something we need to know. And we know. This is something that we need to know this so well that we are not caught off guard. It's the best way I can think of it. Using the example of the storm. Jesus in the boat. So the storm comes up, and the way that, if I'm not mistaken, in fact, I'm almost positive, the way it describes is this storm just came up all of a sudden and kind of caught them off guard. And that's what they do. So they're panicking, they're looking around, they're seeing all this stuff, and they're panicking, going, well, it was so serene a while ago, and I was with the Lord, and now my emotions are all up, and this is happening and everything. And it's at that point that we need to know what? All things work together. So we know all things. We need to know that all of those things Well, let's see. Let's talk about it. What are all the things he's talking about? You could say, well, you know, if I have a flat tire, if I da da da. How about this? All bad things and all good things work together. Okay, what does bad and good sound like?
Evil.
Tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We haven't got rid of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that Adam and Eve ate from. But we can, by the knowledge of Christ, by the eating of the tree of life, we can handle those two and say, it doesn't matter, because they're all going to work towards conforming me to the image of Christ. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not like letting evil throw me off or letting good puff me up. It's like they're all working towards one end, that I may be conformed to the image of Christ. And we know that all things work together for good. It doesn't say, and this is, some people misread this, it doesn't say all things are good. It says all things work together. Good and bad work together for good. And what does he describe as good? Being conformed to the image of Christ. That's the good. Everything's working toward that end. That means the good, the bad, the ugly. Are y'all looking at me like I'm... Wait a minute, why is everybody going... All of it is working toward the end of forming Christ in us. So, now remember, we're talking about a total environment is not a utopia.
That's right.
It's not. It's not meant to be. I mean, it couldn't be anyway, but it's not. It's not meant to be. Because God can use all of this, but none of it in itself does the trick. It all works
together.
See? So, if I went out and had a car wreck, God forbid that I do that here, Lindsay. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Then I don't go, well, this is good.
I wouldn't say that either.
No. But you can, and you can't say, well, this is conforming me to Christ. No. That, with everything else, God is using, and it works together to eventually get you conformed to Christ. You don't know how that would affect you years later, and the Lord would say, remember this, and da-da-da-da, and then you can realize, oh, this is working with this other stuff, you know? God is actually in control.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, isn't that kind of exciting to think about God, that supreme being in control?
Yeah. Yes.
You know? I mean, it's almost like we question that, you know. Well, Jesus fell off the throne. You know, you shouldn't have reached for that cup. You know? Or the devil rushed in, threw him down, said, it's mine. Jesus goes, you got 5 minutes. No. None of that. That's not happening. That's not what's going on. It's all woven together to bring us into the image of his son. And that's the main purpose for all of it.
Amen.
Can you believe that? Yes. Well, the average Christian thinks, well, God is working everything together to make me happy on the earth. You know, well, let me say this, and some of you have heard me say this, but this is an eye-opener. All things do not work together for the good to just anybody, to just every Christian. It's not for every Christian. The scripture is not for every Christian. It's for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose, which is?
To be conformed to the image of Christ.
Right. So it only applies, this verse is not universal. It only applies to those who love God and, because every Christian would go, well, I love God. You know, but do you want to be conformed to the image of his son with allowing God to use good and bad and whatever that comes along?
Yes, Lord.
And you say, no, 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 I just want to be happy, you know. He says, okay, well then you're not going to be conformed to the image of my son then. But if that's your desire and that's your heart, you never have to worry about circumstances and stuff. You don't. Only the people who are outside the realm of that have to go, well, is this, well, this has really set me back, or this has done this, or this has done that. But if you know, and we know that all things work together for good, if you know that, then God is moving all of that to do that.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Okay. So, the people outside the ark, when it starts raining, they're going, first time we had rain, right? First time they had rain. I don't even know how they knew it was called rain. Probably because Adam said, that's rain. He named the animals, I guess, so not the rain. Anyways, you know, they're going, well, you know, this actually feels kind of cool. You know, it's like a shower. I've never had a... Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're just having to work their way through it as they go. That's not working together for good for these folks out there. But the ones in the ark, no matter how bad it gets, they can know, and we know, that this is all part of the plan, and God wants his son out of me. Okay? You don't have to see how that's going to do it. You understand that? You do not have to see. In fact, you're not supposed to see how it is. You're just supposed to say, how about this? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning who?
You.
You. You guys. Y'all. That's, you know, so we say, okay, am I supposed to give thanks, you know, that Tommy hit me in the head with a baseball bat? You say, I am with you, Lord. Thank you that you know what you're doing. You have all of this in control, but this hurt. Well, can't you say, I trust you, but this hurt? Can't you say that?
Yeah.
You know, because it does hurt. And you'll experience things that hurt. And you'll experience them in a total environment, even if you think that it's supposed to be perfect. But it's not. It's not a utopia. Not meant to be. God is going to bring in all this stuff, and he's going to be working on you through those things. So I wrote down God's provision and God's setbacks. I didn't say God's provision and then setbacks. I said, God's provision and God's setbacks. They're not your setbacks. They're God's. They belong to him. And he's the one who's controlling all that. And I wrote, not a perfect environment, but what they needed. I love that. I don't know. I'm crazy. I love that. I just love it. I love it. It just is incredible to me. You know, Lord, it doesn't have to be perfect. I just need to know that it's yours. Well, I can know that through Romans 8, you know. So they're in the ark. It's raining hard. I think there's probably some instability going on in there. Right? Okay. This total environment's unstable. Is it? Is it? Or is it exactly what you need? You know, the darkness in here is like the devil because it's dark. No, it's not like the devil. It's exactly what you need at this time. You've had that sunshine and all that world. Now we're going to bring you through. This isn't the end. This is all that's working toward that. Well, what about all these weird sounds? You know? You ever heard of peacock? Gosh, they're so loud. And they have this real screechy sound. Oh, yes. What about all these beasts at the same time? You know. And you're just going, I'm in hell. No, that's just your brothers and sisters. You know. And then thunder. I guess I never heard thunder. It hadn't rained. It's like,
are you?
Doesn't sound like he chose us. You know? And lightning flashes. Yeah, lightning. I mean, can you see deep down in there and you're looking up and there's that one window and you see the lightning. What the heck is going on here? Oh, you know? This is a great total environment. How much time have I got? I don't know. Do I really?
Yes, actually.
Okay. Thank you. I'm out for two or three witnesses. Okay, so how about this one? How about this example? Adam and Eve placed in the Garden of Eden. Total environment. Is it perfect?
No.
Is it a utopia?
No.
No, it has snakes. Or at least snake, serpent. But it's not a utopia, and it's not meant to be. And people go, they read that and they go, why'd God allow that snake in there? You know, that's the way they think. Why'd God allow that? Because he had to allow it.
Yeah.
Why did God put that tree in there? The one that was going to mess them all up.
Right. So that, yeah, see, there we go. See, our mind, now we can kind of look at that. We can look at other people's stuff and go, well, you know, God's in control. Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
But then your circumstances is like, you know, yeah, you don't get it. You know, why is a serpent dealing with me right now?
Yeah.
Well, that's the Lord. He knows exactly what we need. There are things in there, in that environment, meant to test your priorities.
Wow. Thank you for that.
There are. There are. The Lord, one of the things, if I don't know anything else about the Lord, one of the things I know about the Lord is that he is constantly testing my motives. Mm-hmm. Okay. See, we think in terms of deeds. Well, I did this, and that's wrong, forgive me. I didn't do this, so praise God, I could have, but, you know, we're thinking in terms of deeds. But he's looking at our motives. He's looking at our heart. He's looking at why we did it, you know. We can say, well, I'm going to go feed the poor, you know, and we go feed the poor. And then we want everybody to go, oh, you're so humble and such a blessing. You feed the poor. Oh, you know, and he's going, that's exactly what I wanted to draw out of people. Actually, it probably wouldn't be that sinister, but it would be, I want to be exalted. Yeah, self-exaltation. And doing it for himself, not for them. Yeah. All right, so in the early going in my walk, and you know, well, before I say that, one of the best ways to start having your motives shown up so that you can see, I always thought I was doing that for the Lord, and I see I got some other. One of the best ways to check your motives is to get into a total environment. Because what happens is you're doing stuff, and people will catch you. There's people, you know, you can go to church and go, hi, and, you know, most people can last like an hour.
That's right.
Most people can.
Not everybody. But, you know, you can go and, oh, yes, praise God, you know. Hi, brother so-and-so, you know. How's things going? Oh, the Lord is so good, you know. But in a total environment, you know. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example that I did. God, I got so many. But they were a blessing that, you know. I had come, I was in the Army. And I was in the Army during the Vietnam War, and I was a medic. And one of the things, there were several things that happened, but a combination of Oak Cliff and being in the Army, they trained you that if not to let somebody sneak up on you or whatever. For example, when I got that shot, you know, we were talking about it, and Deb said the doctor came in with it behind his back, you know. I'd notice that right off, man. Buddy, I'm going to disarm you. I don't know what that is, if that's a gun or a needle. But anyway, so in Bible school, I went into Bible school, got saved, went into Bible school. And before that, I'd had a girlfriend that came into my room to wake me up, and this was not in Bible school. And I jumped up and I accidentally hit her, but I was just reacting to, because they train you. I mean, you're literally trained to kill. It's not the best thing in the world. But I was a medic, so I could heal her. Anyway, so I'm laying there, and I was really having a hard time getting up every morning at the right time. And the house supervisor, whatever it's called, dorm supervisor, would come in there and go, Randy, it's time to get up, da-da-da-da, and come back later, Randy, it's time to get up, class is going to start, and da-da-da-da, Randy, da-da-da-da, you know, and I still wouldn't. So one day, dorm supervisor got one of the other directors, and they came in, and they dumped water on me. Uh-oh. And I jumped up, and I mean, I went into the stance that they teach you to do. I went into this stance, and I was ready to take, I mean, that quick. It just all happened, so just like this. And I looked at them, and they were both against the wall like this, like scared to death. Because, I mean, I was up and ready to pounce, you know, and they could tell. And they were like, oh, my God. And I looked at their faces and looked at myself, and I just fell down at the foot of my bed and just started weeping. And I just said, God, I don't want to be this way. I want it to be your son. I want Jesus in me, not these kind of reactions that come up automatically. And look what they're doing to people and stuff. That's just one example that happens in an environment where you are confronted with motives and things and actions that if you're just, you know, around at work or whatever, nobody notices that stuff. But, you know, when you're all trying to become conform to Jesus, well, that's not bad. Amen. I know we go, here's what we say. Well, I don't want all my junk exposed. He's not going to just do it all at once. You know. What'd you say?
It's going to be over the course of a long
time. Well, and he doesn't go to the worst things or whatever. You know what I mean? We always go, well, he's just going to expose my worst things, you know, and he's going to go, look, I'm not exposing anything. I'm just trying to form my son in you. He is not. That is, you know, and it's been my experience as a pastor dealing with people is that for the most part, he never publicly exposes what we would consider the worst things. I've had people come to me and say, the Lord's really dealing with me, and there's this area, and I say, whatever you say to me stays with me, which does. I don't even tell my wife. I take it to the Lord. But it's we walk through all this together. We're together. We have one heart. Yes. Jesus, I just want you to get the Lord. We don't gloat over stuff like that. We just seek the Lord. So, so we're talking about a total environment, and it's not a utopia. How about Jesus walking with the 12? Okay, you got these guys that want to be the greatest. Got this guy stealing. You got Bartholomew doing what he's doing. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know either, but, you know. I'm checking on you, buddy. And, you know, so here, Jesus says, have I not chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil? I wonder which one here. Never mind, I know. It's not you. It's the one behind you.
That's right.
Oh, I'm talking about devil. Jesus knew what was going on. He chose a guy that stole money. And Jesus knew all along. It's not like Jesus is going, I wonder where the money's been going lately. You know, it seemed like we had more than that, you know. But, you know, I think the best of everybody. No, he knows what's going on, you know. And he knows that he's stealing money. And he didn't fire him. He didn't come up and say, look, we know what you're doing. Come here, guys.
Amazing. Get him.
Yeah. Get in here. Get that bag. Jesus, the very place that you would think you'd find the greatest utopia, walking with Jesus, you find all this contention and stuff going on because, what? Because he's dealing with us. He's drawing out things, but he's also putting in. His purpose is never to just draw out or expose. He's putting his son in. Okay. Well, if you had a coffee cup and it was full of coffee and you wanted tea, you'd have to get rid of the coffee, right? And then pour in the tea. You don't pour them together, you know. And you don't just pour it and it runs over and then you have, you know, you don't know what you got there. He is intending to fill us with his son.
Yes.
He is working to fulfill what is the desire of our heart. Lord, I want you. I want your life in me. I want you more than I want me. Well, he's gonna go. Okay. Well, then we're gonna have to pull some teeth here, you know. And you say, okay.
Amen.
And he'll do it. And then when it's done, you know what? Here's the funny thing: there are things that that I used to do or think I can't even remember now. But there were things that I used to do that I said, the Lord will never be able to get rid of this in me. It's too ingrained in me. It's me. It's too much. There's no way. And I remember like going, well, take whatever you can get, but I know you ain't getting that because that's too hard, too much. It's too much of me. And this is the absolute truth. I remember after a couple of years, I'll just use an example of me and Deb talking, and maybe she brought up something and I went, I haven't had that working in me in at least a year. I haven't even thought of it. And it was like, that was one of the things I said he could never, ever get rid of. And he did it so smoothly, I didn't even know he took it. I mean, really. I mean, I am telling you, that it was like, golly, there is a God. You know? I mean, it was so wonderful. And then, and that didn't just happen once. It happened a bunch of different times. And then I thought, how many things has he taken away that I will never, he'll never remind me of or show me that are gone?
Wow.
So I just keep walking into the sun. I just keep walking into the sun. I don't look back. You know, there's a certain juncture you sort of look back and, you know, you get to a certain place, though, and you just say, this is where I'm going. This is who I am. This is what I am. Therefore, this is what I will always be. And it's the exact opposite of what I was. All right, maybe I should stop here. But isn't this good? I mean, the Lord is good, and he's faithful. And, you know, however, even though I might be setting it not quite as scary as some could, I can assure you that none of it is as scary as you think it would be. Let me put it on that page. None of it is as scary as you perceive. Well, even though Randy said it's this, that's still scary or something. It's the Lord is faithful and true, and he draws us into himself. And he did that when he who knew no sin was made to be sin. He drew us at our worst, and he didn't reject us. He drew us into himself, and then like a branch grafted into him, his life starts filling up that branch. And you feel the life. You start going through phases of wow. And then you find that there are seasons, because remember, there are seasons. Everything doesn't grow 24 hours a day all the year round. Well, maybe here, but but it doesn't. I know that it doesn't. And there are seasons, and in those seasons, just figure Jesus is asleep in the boat when it's winter. You know what I mean? He's still there. It's still the life in you. And then when spring comes, you go, oh, and it, you know, I know what it's like, because I had a long stretch of laying in the tomb. And I remember the first breeze of the Holy Spirit. It was the first breeze of spring spiritually for me at that time. And I remember the breeze of the Holy Spirit that blew over me, and I wept. And wept, you know, because I was, you know, you think you're, you know, you think you're not going to see him again, you know, you, but it's not true. He's always there, and when the season's over, everything starts living again. Father, we love you, and we trust your heart for your son, and we don't trust our heart, but we trust your heart for your son, and so we always cling to you. And we cling to your plan, because your plan is a heart plan. And because through it, we will reach our intended shore. We will reach our intended shore that you have set sail on for us. Those in the boat reach that shore. And those in Noah's Ark reach that shore, reach that place. And we will do so also. Thank you for your faithfulness. We love you. We seek you. We honor you. We humble ourselves before you. We say to you, we want you not just first. We don't just want you first. We want you in all things. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Remember how in our adventure book, so much of it had to do with being in the ocean and the ocean of emotion, but launching out from the shallows. Mm-hmm. And that scripture that said, you know, what is the scripture? Launch out into the deep. Do you remember the verse? It's the one where it said, I want to go out into the deep, launching out into the deep. Well, there's a scripture in the Gospels where it says, launching out.
Launching out into the deep.
Well, someone might.
I have no means.
We weren't here.
You all know the scripture.
Randy's like, I know, but I'm
it's
not.
It's a scripture, that's why. Anyway. But I just follow
you. Launch out into the deep and bring out dry.
It has something that about the disciples wanting to launch out into the deep to know him deeper and to not stay on the shallows. And we prayed that a lot last year. We wanted to go deeper still, and we wanted to get off the shores of our life, you know, and enter into his life. And I think it's interesting that now here the Lord's giving us Noah, and out there
in the deep is this
ark with this environment that's going to bring us where we couldn't go ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that he hears our heart cry for more of Jesus, But the answer, just like what Randy was sharing, it doesn't always come in the form or the vessel that we're looking for. That environment isn't always the utopia that we're thinking. And it takes our hearts being open and sensitive and in a certain place to hear God answering our heart cry, because it looks like a floating circus with beasts inside, you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
and so I just want to continue to, you know, just emphasize staying sensitive, not being distracted by your own flesh. And if something's distracting you, maybe that's one of those things that the Lord is working together to bring forth. You know, that can be distractions. That can be part of that process, part of the process of what this environment's meant to do. And
it works all together.
And we could just get through it, or we could press into Jesus because of it and find the Lord in a way that maybe we would never have found him. That can be with us when we leave. And, you know, I can't speak specifics right now because these are the things that are in each one of us, specific to us. And it may not make sense, and that's okay, maybe for one person in this room, you know, but let everything that's going on work together. The failures, the waves, the stuff that's rising in you that you know it's not the sun. How many people have felt stuff rising on, really, in a way they didn't expect to during this time? Mm. And part of it having to do with reacting to someone here or something in you that doesn't, things that you didn't think would happen that just don't feel like Jesus. You know, it's your flesh. And you can be thinking, man, maybe I'm missing the purpose of this trip. Maybe something was supposed to, maybe I'm off. Maybe, we are. We need the Lord. We're off in the sense that it's not all Christ in us, but that's part of the journey. And cultivating our hearts to, and I don't have the words, and I'm not, cultivating our hearts to be, like everything was just shared, with the Lord in that, the good, the bad, the ugly, the all things. And let it work. Let it work. Let him do this. It can be so wonderful. So wonderful. So I just want to encourage you guys, you know, even as we get up now, that something really precious was handed to us in the scriptures. And we can hold that now in our hearts in a way that can, we're halfway there. Today's our halfway mark. Mm-hmm. Okay. So instead of lessening our game, let's up it.
Mm-hmm.
With the word that's come to us, let's say, okay, now there's things stirred up in me. There's things broken in me. There's maybe some of the deep is broken, and maybe some water's pouring, and maybe some all things are working. But Lord, that's where I'm supposed to be right now. And instead of escaping from it or crying over it or being confused by it, I want to let my heart say, Father, work it all together to bring forth your Son. And let this begin a pattern in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Start something in my heart. Amen. So I want to speak that before we just dismiss from this precious session. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.